Mike did not know, I did not tell him what I was going to be sharing on this morning. There was one verse I was going to read in the message here, and I think I'll go ahead and read it right now. The message I preached the other Sunday was strength for our journey. And as if you might recall, if you were here, we left off in 2 Peter chapter 1, thank you, where it says something to the effect of add to your faith. And we stopped. And I mentioned also about the fact of the hopelessness there is in the world around us. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. And when we talk about hope, we don't talk about hope like other people talk about hope who don't know who is the true hope. But it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. That's for us today, brothers and sisters, that he who promised is faithful. In a world that is full of hopelessness, we have hope. Goes on to say, and this is the purpose for you being here this morning, not sometimes what you think your purpose is to be here, but it's this, listen. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Lori, sitting up here this morning, could probably give us an illustration if she would have her horse riding equipment with her. She could probably get a reaction out of you if she would spur you. I don't know that much about horses, but I do know you have spurs on your boots, I believe it is. Right, Gene? Well, but that is one way of spurring on a horse, I believe. So, it says here to spur one another on. Well, I don't think it need to go hurt each other. But it means that we give consideration, too, of what, as I look out at you, what could it be that you're needing this morning? And each one of you, as you're sitting here, that's what you need to be doing. You need to be looking around and saying, what is it that I could be doing for someone else that's here this morning to urge them on? Then he says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see that day approaching. Did you know that by you being here, you're an encouragement to someone? Maybe to many people this morning. You might not think that, but each one of you has a place. Each one of you fulfills a need in someone else. Because you're here, someone else is encouraged. And that can be just by your presence, but it can also be by a word that you might share with someone else. This morning, I want to share on going the distance. The other week, if you remember, we shared about how it is that we gain divine power and strength. It's not of ourselves, but it's through our knowledge of God. So if you're lacking this morning, you're feeling down, if you feel like God's not where he should be in your life, it's probably not God's fault. It's because of your lack of applying yourself to the knowledge that he has given us through his word. So this morning, we want to look at 2 Peter. Again, chapter 1, and I want to read verses 5 through 11. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. And that's where we stopped last time. We'll go on. goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you will never fall. It's not me talking. That's God's word. If you do these things, you will never fall. End of discussion. Ah, there's another verse. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What is faith? I told Brother Elvin the other morning, we were talking, and I was shared with Tommy and Elvin that we're going to be sharing on, that I was going to be sharing on faith. And somewhere he came up with a paper that alludes to some of these things, what we're talking about faith. And it says here, faith, salvation is by faith. Then he goes on and asks a question, but what kind of faith? We hear that word faith passed around so much. We talk to people and they might say, well, what faith are you? Well, I'm of the Mennonite faith, or I'm of the Baptist faith, or I'm of the Methodist faith. And probably, in all reality, that's not a good word to use for that, because the Bible says there's only one faith, one hope, and one baptism. But what kind of faith is the faith that comes and brings salvation with it? Faith like the fearful? No, that talks about that in John 12. Faith like the demons, says the demons believe in God and they tremble. But we know the demons don't have salvation. Faithful like Satan's children. John 8:31 and verse 44 also, Jesus talked to the Jews who believed on him, but then in verse 44, he told some of those that you are children of your father, the devil. Well, that'd be pretty blunt. But it was Jesus talking, so we know it was true. A faith working by love. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. God says we need to have faith that works. James 2:14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say that he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? And we'll talk about that. The answer to that, real quick, is can faith alone save you? The answer is yes. No. But yes is first. No is next. When you have faith, it is solely on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, confessing your sins. Nothing to do with works. But somewhere in that, real fast, something happens. Because something's going to change inside of you. If you are saved by faith and nothing changes from that moment on, it was probably late night pizza that got to you. It was probably just heartburn. Something will change when you experience true salvation through faith. It will show. And how it shows is through works. But that's why I say, can faith alone save you? Yes. No. Because it will save you, but something will change. You will have something to show, and you'll continue, and we'll go on to that. If you claim the name of Christ, and you say, faith only, and there's nothing there to show, people have the right to question you and say, really, what is going on in your life? Well, this morning, I want to do something here. I brought my lunch. Okay? What is this? Okay. What? Bread. Okay. You're alert. That's good. What is this? Even Max knew. Wait a minute. Someone said it was bread. All I did is added a little bit of meat. And now you said it's a sandwich. I guess we'd all agree to that. Okay. What if I would do like this and make this thing even better? And I'm not going to take it all off, but see what I'm doing. Now let's pretend that all of the crust is off. Now what is it? It's still a sandwich. Okay. This sandwich is what I'm calling faith. Jesus is called the bread of life. But this sort of represents God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have to recognize that to be believers, to be true believers in Jesus Christ. You have that, you have a sandwich. Well, it says about faith that we are to add to our faith goodness. And this morning, just for this time, we're going to call cheese goodness. Now what do we have? A sandwich. So as you go your life and you have this without the cheese on it, you still have a sandwich, right? We already agreed to that. But we add cheese, and so we have a sandwich. We have knowledge. Well, that could be like adding some lettuce into this thing. And one thing we want to assume here this morning, for the sake of this test, or the sake of this illustration, is that everybody likes all these ingredients, okay? Some of you will say you don't, but this morning, for the sake of this, you do. So the lettuce, we could say that might be our knowledge. Here's a really bad one. The next one, Mikey, control yourself. What is this? A tomato. For some people, we have just now ruined this sandwich. But again, for the sake of my illustration, it's like adding knowledge. So if you don't eat tomatoes, you don't have much knowledge. No, just kidding. But it's still a sandwich, right? And then maybe what we can do is, and I'm not going to do this, but we can add a pickle, and we can maybe say that can be godliness. Oh, man, we need something to drink. This is something else that we do along with this sandwich we normally eat. A lot of times we'll eat chips. And this could be the mutual affection for each other. The other thing we have is, you got to have, this is really hypocritical because I don't drink this stuff, but you got to have a good Coke. And we're going to say that can be godliness or brotherly kindness or mutual affection. whichever one I didn't say yet. So all of these things we have here, and you're a believer. If we go back to the original, this sandwich is coming apart, and take everything off, and we're back to just this, we have still a sandwich. Every one of us as believers are at different places in our lives. Can we accept each other where we are by having this faith? And this last one is love. You know how ice cream? Remember how we eat ice cream? We say it just fills in the cracks. It has love at the very end there, but I think love, it's talking about maybe that that love is something that is going to show itself even as we go. What's funny? What? No. It's mayonnaise. Ice cream. Okay. So we have all of these things, and the Bible talks about that we increase. So as we go along, we add these things to our lives, to our faith. You notice the very first one I said, add to your faith. I could not have started out with goodness. This cannot start out as goodness. It can't start out as mutual affection. It can't start out as kindness, knowledge, any one of those. It has to start out with faith. It says, add to your faith. Not sure if my Coke's safe up here or not, but I'll leave it. Is it not interesting how we can start with something, and as long as you have the right basics, which is the bread and the meat, and it could be bread and it could be peanut butter and jelly in between, but you cannot have two pieces of bread together and call that a sandwich. People don't do that. It's just called two pieces of bread. But the minute that you put something in between, it's called a sandwich. And again, that can represent God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But then we add on to who we are as believers. That can be our works. Those things that we stuck in there can be our works. And you don't need to have them. You will have them. You will add those on if you have saving faith. If those things are not coming on into your life, then you need to step back and question really what happened. Well, let's quickly go back and look at goodness. The dictionary tells us that goodness is moral excellence. Virtue, it's a kindly feeling, it's kindness, it's generosity. And also wrote down that it's goodness could be your character, not your reputation. Remember what I said about raising your hands in worship? Goodness could also be what you're doing with your hands the rest of the week when no one's even around. Knowledge is the next one. The definition in the dictionary says it's an acquaintance with facts, truths, or principles, as from study or instruction. We gain knowledge from God's Word. We can also gain knowledge from watching other godly people. But we have to be careful in that, and that is that if ever there's a conflict of what somebody is doing that you're following versus what Scripture says, there's one of two things that's happening. Either that person is not following Scripture or else you're not understanding quite correctly. But we always have to go back to Scripture to make sure that whatever knowledge we're gaining is truth. Self-control. I had that one down as the tomato. there's a number of you here that could control yourself and not put a tomato on your sandwich, couldn't you? It is the ability to exercise restraint or control over one's feelings. You've heard me saying this before, and I'll say it again. We all have feelings. We all feel certain things sometimes. Maybe about people. Maybe about your wife. Maybe about your husband. Maybe about your children. Maybe about somebody you work with. Whatever. But just because something is true, and I've said this before, doesn't mean that you have to say it. Okay? There's lots of things in this world, in this life, that are true, but it doesn't mean you have to say it, because people do say, well, it is the truth. So, the Bible does say, ye shall know the truth, and it shall make you free. But there's sometimes, just because something's true, doesn't mean you have to say it. And this could apply to your feelings, your emotions. When you're in the heat of an emotion regarding a situation, sometimes you're better off just zipping it. Because every one of you, I know you have, because I have, and I think you're just as human, but you've said things, and you later look back and say, why did I say that? And you can go back and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But you cannot tell that person, you know what, I said that, but I really didn't even think it. That ain't going to happen. You can't say it unless you think it. So there's usually a reason why you say it. Even if you said it and you say, I was kidding. And probably for us men, we're worse at that than the women. The women actually kind of tell lies on the other side of it about how beautiful their hair, the other woman's hair is, or their dress, or their shoes. And they go home and tell their husband. So just because some lady thinks her shoes are nice, and you think they're ugly, but she would feel good if you'd say they're nice, doesn't mean you have to say it. Because that's not... Anyhow. Perseverance. It's another thing we're supposed to add. Perseverance is said to be a steady persistence in a course of action, a purpose, a state, especially in spite of differences, obstacles, or discouragement. You persevere. I talked with somebody yesterday, not from around here, but I told him, I said, there are times, I said, he was questioning about his feelings were just, what do I do? And he was having issues with his marriage, and he had married the second time, and that one's coming apart, and I was like, remember back what you told me several years ago, that somehow you wonder how you could get out of this second marriage without hurting this person, this lady? I said, remember back? He said, yeah, I remember. I said, you have to understand what is the right thing to do. And I said, there are times when the right thing to do does not have the feelings with it. That's when you have to persevere. You don't have to persevere on something that you really love to do and it's right. That's not perseverance. It's not perseverance. But to persevere is to go on in spite of not feeling it and in spite of even thinking maybe you don't even have the energy to go that distance, but you do have the energy to go one more step. Perseverance has the idea of just breaking out in sweat because it's so hard. Well, we're supposed to add godliness. The dictionary definition for that is conforming to the wishes of God, devout or pious. It's okay, brothers and sisters, to be called a goody-goody. Young people, when you do right. Old people, when you do right, people might call you a goody-goody. I hope they don't call you self-righteous. But a goody-goody is okay. To be godly means you're devout, you're pious towards, you have feelings of adoration to God, and it will show. And there are certain things that you won't do because you are pious, because you are serving someone else besides yourself. There's even going to be things that maybe you won't do that you would sort of feel like doing if you just be on your own. But you know that it's something that God would not be pleased with. Maybe it's not even wrong for, maybe someone else is doing it. But you know that God would not be pleased if you would do it. And being okay with that, being strong in that. Godliness. Mutual affection. Sympathy of each person for the other. I think King James, I think, says brotherly kindness. Sympathy of each person for the other. Looking out when you come to church, and rather than seeing how you could be blessed to see someone else that might need your presence here today is one way. Looking out and being very aware of what's going on in other people's lives. And the last one, and I would say this is probably where the statement come from. Last but not least, love. And in the secular dictionary, it says a feeling of warm personal attachment or deep affection as for a parent, child, or a friend. First Corinthians 13, verse 4 says, and this is more than just a warm, fuzzy feeling. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. And it is not proud. It is not rude. And it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. And it always perseveres. If you have loved the way Scripture would teach us, it says in the next verse, 8, love never fails. And the last part there. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. This is one of those scriptures where just at face value, you might say, well, now, wait a minute, it's contradicting. I thought faith. We have to have that faith in Christ, that salvation by grace through faith, before we even know how to love. But before we become huge men of faith, that's where 1 Corinthians is telling us then, the greater is love. And love is giving up of yourself. Could it be that after we apply all these other things, maybe that's what he was saying here, that we have love? It's like love holds all the other qualities together, just like the bread does in a sandwich. It holds, I mean, could you imagine trying to call something a sandwich that doesn't have bread up here and bread down here? Wouldn't be very pretty to eat because, plus it, I don't think it'd be a sandwich. Verse 8 talks about the knowledge, but we can have all the knowledge that we can possibly get, but if we do not increase in those seven qualities that I listed this morning. It says that we will become ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge of who Jesus is. So that being said, we will regress. We will go backwards. Verse 11 in our passage says, you will receive a rich welcome into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 10, remember, it says that if you do these things, you will never fail. And you know, we talk about stumbling, and I think you can stumble without falling. And I'm not sure if I relayed this the other Sunday, but if there's trash in your way, you can walk along and you can trip, but you don't fall. But if that is the journey of your life, that you're constantly stumbling, we can stop and say, well, you know what? You're still going to go to heaven, but you sure ain't having a whole lot of fun down on this earth. It's not fun as you walk along to constantly be tripping up and have your feet catch on things that are on the floor or on the ground. Here he gives us the recipe. And it's things that we specifically do. And verse 11 says, you will receive entrance into the kingdom of heaven if we do these things in increasing measure. Something for you to think about. Could it be that we could also take this and say that if you don't do these things in increasing measure, you will not receive an entrance into the kingdom of heaven at some point? We like the good parts, but we don't like what the other side of it implies. Why do we do what we do? Quickly here in closing. Peter 3, 10 through 14, I won't read it, but verse 11 there says, since everything will be destroyed in this way, it talks about the heavens being melted and the earth destroyed. What kind of people should you be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. Lives like I just spoke about. That lives that have a... You're determined. You are living with purpose. As you look forward to the day, you realize why you're doing what you're doing is because you're looking forward to this day that God is coming back. It says that day will bring about destruction. It says the elements will burn up. Verse 14 there says, since you are looking forward to this, and he's assuming here that you are, us as believers, we are looking forward to this. And if we're not, you better check your heartbeat. It says, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Spotless and blameless. Not perfect, blameless. Keep your record clear. Philippians 2, verse 12, phrase in there says, continue to work out your salvation. Works. It takes work to continue on. Then dropping on down, verse 15 in there says, so that you may become pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars, holding out the word of life. Brothers and sisters, I think we're in that day to where if you hold out that word of life, if you hold out that little candle of your witness, it's going to show up. And more it's going to show up as time goes on. Because the world is getting increasingly dark, evil. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, 14. I read that one the other week. Now that all has been heard, here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep His commandments. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether good or evil. Remember what I said here a while back about our character versus our reputation? Don't worry about anybody ruining your reputation. Be more concerned with that you don't ruin your character. Nobody can ruin your character except yourself. Others could try to ruin your reputation and maybe ruin your reputation, but it will show if your character is above board. Remember the sandwich. Each one of us are at a different place in our walk of faith. 2 Peter 3:17 says, "Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever." Grow in the grace and knowledge. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge. It takes work, but it will be worth it. See who you can encourage rather than waiting on someone to come encourage you. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Father in heaven, this morning we thank you again for your word and for the nuggets of truth that we can apply to our lives. Would you guide us as we leave from this place, God? Would you move in and through us? Would you help us that we would honor you, whether we're around other people, whether we're by ourselves? And God, that that light of the gospel would shine brighter and brighter out from our lives. Be with us as we leave from here. Would you bless each one this week? Would you care for them? Let each one know that you love them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening. God bless you. You're dismissed.